I'm Alex Keefe, and this is VPR News. Say you want to attend a public meeting or a class, but you can't make it in person. Enter Vermont Interactive Technologies. It has 17 sites all around the state, offering real-time video conferencing services. But the state-supported nonprofit will be closed at the end of this year, and its users are still figuring out what that means for them. Hillary Niles has this report.
From Springfield, Vermont, electrician and instructor John Foster checks attendance in classrooms 110 and 115 miles away.
Evening. Okay. St. Albans and Newport. Whoops. Matt?
Yeah.
You're all alone. You're all alone. Where's Damon? Lost him.
I think he said he's going to be here.
Okay.
In addition to six students before him, Foster is on camera, teaching a level 4 electricity class in two remote locations.
Bonding. What is bonding? Todd.
This is distance learning on Vermont Interactive Technologies, a nonprofit founded by the state in 1988. Foster and his students in St. Albans and Newport watch each other on large television screens. They all have microphones set before them, including students in the room with Foster, so everyone in all three locations can interact in real time. Technicians control the mics and cameras and fix inevitable glitches in the technology until December. Starting in January, instructors and students will operate a pared-back version of the service on their own. For now, from his windowless perch in an adjacent control room, Nick Levesque monitors seven screens that simultaneously show instructor John Foster, his students in all three locations, a projection screen, and a dry erase surface. Boards full of knobs control the microphone volume for each person.
When you have so many students in the same class and there's like 10 microphones on, you know, that can get a lot of random background noise and it can cause echoes or cause the teacher to break up or whatever.
When that happens, technicians in all locations troubleshoot via instant chat while the class carries on. It's a service that's universally lauded as high quality, but the technical support that makes it good also makes it expensive. Last year, at Governor Peter Shumlin's request, the legislature zeroed out a roughly $800,000 state appropriation for VIT. In 2016, clients will be on their own to use an alternative or do without. This mostly affects Vermont Technical College in Randolph, which uses VIT for its nursing program. Vermont Tech also helps run the state's apprenticeship programs, like John Foster's electricity class, through VIT. An alternative platform the school developed aims to save money by eliminating the on-site technicians. College President Dan Smith said he doesn't think the students' learning experience will be compromised. Foster expects to be trained soon, and he's up for the challenge, to a point.
If someone says, well, this glitch is going to be, you push that button, then fine, I guess I can push that button. But if I got to calculate, figure it out, I don't think it's going to happen. I think we'll have an early night that night.
Any solution for other VIT clients is also likely to be self-serve. But it's not at all clear yet what that solution will be, the sites where it'll be available, or even if the self-serve option will work for the nonprofits, private businesses, and government agencies that use VIT for meetings, trainings, bankruptcy proceedings, and public hearings. A study committee meets next on November 24th to figure out whether and how to continue a scaled-back service for them once VIT is dissolved. For VPR News, I'm Hillary Niles.